Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
The Lord now chose 72 other disciples, and he sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and the places that he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. He said, "The harvest is great, guys, but the workers are few. So I want you to pray to the Lord, who is in charge of this harvest, and ask him to send more workers into the field. Now go and remember that I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves." Well, we start off our show today in Luke 10, verses 1 through 3, because we continue our conversation with Susan Stacy. She is the founder and the director of the Fountain of Hope in Phoenix, Arizona. She ministers to those who are trapped in the sex trafficking industry. And this is an eye-opening show, really, to the reality of how women who are made in the image of God, how they're being treated. Susan also briefly explains the business side of the sex trafficking industry, and she's going to use some terms here that may not be suitable for young ears. On today's podcast, we're going to discuss several things. Number one, we're going to learn how to minister to those who are victims of prostitution. Number two, we're going to learn who these women really are. How old are they? Where did they come from, and why are they doing this? And number three, what happens when you give a victim caught in prostitution a small gift? Today's show is titled "The Face of Prostitution." You and your team, you actually go out on the streets every week in downtown Phoenix, and you go where the people are, exactly as the Lord said. So what's that? What does that look like? What specifically do you do, and what does your team do when you go out on the streets and minister?
Well, we have an outside team and an inside team. So the inside team cooks breakfast, which pretty much everybody likes breakfast. So we, as sex trafficking is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we basically picked a time that God would send us volunteers that were able to get there because we're volunteer driven. Mm-hmm. And the inside team cook, and then we have some that are able to actually really have learned to interact well with the ladies as they come in, because it takes a little bit of skill. For example, you wouldn't spend a lot of time talking about your Thanksgiving roast and whether it went well or not went well.
Yeah.
They're homeless. They don't necessarily know when Thanksgiving is. So some conversations are just going to be hurtful to them a little bit, even though you don't mean it. And so you have to learn to serve them and really listen, and even if they don't talk, you're still sitting there listening, waiting for anything. And so it's sort of guest led. The other team are sort of a little bit more adventurous, and they go out two by two by car, and we jump out of the car when we think we've seen a girl that's homeless or soliciting for customers. We'll jump out and give her a lotion. I've trained the volunteers how to use the space, and every girl needs lotion on that. It says you're God's princess, and then invite to come for breakfast.
So you put a little tag on there that says you are God's princess.
Yes, we do, and they love that.
So how do they respond when a stranger walks up to them and you give them a gift and they see that message on there?
A lot of different ways. Sometimes they can't have you in their space right then, and they'll try and ignore you, and then we watch their body language and we'll leave as soon as we get a no, and we don't take it personally.
Okay.
And sometimes they'll start crying, and sometimes they'll resist the contact for shame or whatever, or they'll start saying, "I'm not a," and name themselves. Not that we would ever do that.
Right.
But that's their own hurt and pain, especially. And so our next question after that is, "Are you hungry?" Which we already know the answer to, because if they're eating, it's normally out of a vending machine you know, bag of chips and soda and things like that. And so they are not eating well. They're very malnourished. And so we'll invite them for breakfast. That's kind of the introduction.
So there are, so you try to take them back to
the fountain,
which is a refuge, and it's only women can be in there. And you've got some couches in there and you've got some tables, and that's where they cook the breakfast. You know, a lot of men listening, I've got so many questions for you. I don't even know where to begin, but a lot of men listening, Susan, are listening to this podcast because they're struggling with pornography and they're trying to recover from that, or they're just trying to figure out what God is doing. And there's a discussion of whether or not pornography is linked to sex trafficking. And I think one of the things that I want to discuss with you is, tell us about the women that are on the streets. You mentioned that they're homeless, they're hungry. Who is this woman? Where does she come from? How does she find herself homeless? What does her day look like? Just give us some background about, I think, the reality that's going on the streets, because the reality is very different from the fantasy of sex and pornography and all that.
Big question.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Let me try and break it down a little bit. Probably the youngest girl we've seen is about 14 or 15 because they weren't developed. Their hips weren't developed. Their femininity wasn't fully developed. So okay. we saw them as teens, definite teens. And then we have women that have survived out there because there can be a lot of brutality from their customers at times. And definitely from the boyfriend slash pimp, because they really can, these guys that are watching them, and there are some women, really consider these young women and girls as their merchandise. And whereas you sell a gun once, you can only sell the drug once, they can sell these girls' bodies over and over and over again in one day. It's a very lucrative thing. They're very broken down. They've aged a lot. You can't work out how old they are, so you don't normally throw that out.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of teeth missing often. They have, some of them have injuries. Sorry.
Are these women, are they runaways? Are they... How do they get to that spot? Is it sexual abuse at home, and then they run away from that, and then they find someone? I remember one day you mentioned to me that the way that these women find their pimps is that it doesn't start off that way. It's they come alongside and they act like, well, it's their boyfriend, and
yes,
they want to try to take care of them that way. Is that how the introduction is done?
They're normally, yes, and when you think of a 13 to 17-year-old, they're very gullible and they're very vulnerable to an older man taking interest in them. And so because of social media, the girls will often say, you know, I hate my mom, you know, which pretty much every teenager says at some point.
Sure.
And these predators will hone in on that. Or, I'm getting ready to leave home, can anybody give me a ride? I mean, it can be a multitude of things. Yes, a lot of the girls have had sexual abuse as the foundation for their sexuality. And they're already coming from a huge level of brokenness. There are runaways. There's kids that have been kicked out of the home. If you're a parent, try never to do that, because there's like sharks out there waiting for them at the bus stop and offering them a bed. It's not just the streets they offer them, although some may be brazen enough to offer them that pretty soon.
Sure.
So they do what a process called grooming, which is, if you've got a 22-year-old man and a 14-year-old girl, she's going to feel flattered. And there's a whole process that can go through. They can be somebody at school that's older. They can meet them at the mall. There's a lot of different ways. Take a little time to explain that.
Yeah. And I think the point that I want to get across is that the pornography that we view.
Yes.
And the Hollywood version of what a call girl or prostitute is not, that's glamorizing the whole sex industry.
Right.
And what you see on a weekly basis is these women are truly homeless. They truly suffer abuse and they are just literally trying to survive. Mm. And they're 14 and 15 years old. That's a very different picture from, I think, what most men think about. I've had so many men say, well, you know, she's out there because she wants to be out there. Susan, do they want to be out there?
No. And the driving force, if they've got, I mean, it's organized now. This is crime. It's organized crime. And sometimes the pimps have more than one girl. Then one of the girls that has been in what they, well, they call them their bitches, in their stable, which is the name of where they house them, if they're housed, or they're running out, it out of a motel room, they have what they call a bottom bitch if it's large enough. And she's a girl that has been come up through the ranks for a few years, and now in order not to work as hard, she's watching over the other girls. And some of them can be as violent as the pimp. And so
wow.
It's generational now. You know, there's young men that have been raised in that, and now they're a pimp themselves. And they're very, the ones that I've seen right outside the window can flaunt their body, their car, their money. Now, a lot of our girls, they have nothing. They get nothing in return. All the money is handed over. Whether it's a more elite group, say out of North Scottsdale, I mean, I won't pick on them, but, you know,
sure.
In a multi-million dollar house possibly, sold on the internet, on Backpage or other places, or street walking, like in my area, which is about 30%, about 70%, but none of the women want to be involved. They just can't get out. It's not that easy to get out.
They just can't get out. Does that picture of a prostitute change your mind? That these women are actually 13 to 17 year old girls and they are literally trying to survive. Did you know that sex trafficking is the second largest form of organized crime in the world? What's the first? Well, it's drug sales. But see, here's the thing. Sex and drugs go together, don't they? Just like alcohol and sex. In fact, it seems that sex goes with about anything. And that's the reason that we're talking about this today. Because customers, these Johns, can be anyone. Johns are everywhere. And sexual sin crosses all demographics, all races. It doesn't matter if we're white collar or blue collar or no collar. The exploitation of these women impacts us all. Now, maybe you're thinking to yourself, hey, wait a second, Dustin. Just wait a minute. You know, I listen to the show because, yes, I want to learn how to be a godly man. I'm learning what purity looks like and all that. But you know what, man? I would never hire a prostitute. Well, Victor Malarek says this in his book, The Johns. He says, if prostitution is the main act, then pornography is the dress rehearsal. So in other words, if you don't stop viewing pornography, if you don't stop engaging in lustful, sinful activities, it's only a matter of time. One last thing on this. Those of you who are listening and who have engaged in prostitution, I want to encourage you to repent of that sin. I don't want to heap more shame on you. But if that's a secret that you're keeping, I want you to confess it It needs to be confessed so you can be released of that sin. You can be forgiven of that sin. The Word of God says that when you confess sin, He's going to cast that sin as far as the east is from the west. And I would encourage you to share that, to confess that, whether it's to your spouse, to a pastor, to a counselor, to someone who's safe, for you to get over that event in your life. The Apostle James writes in James 1, 14 through 15, "Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and they drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death." Lastly, I'm excited to share with you that my new book is now available for pre-order, along with the audio workbook series. Both of these are on the website at dustindaniels.org. Just click on store to check them out. Thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Purity Pastor and email me your questions at dustindaniels.org. Remember that the pure in heart will see God. Walk worthy today, my friend, as you cling to Jesus. I love you, and I'll see you tomorrow.